Today's interview came about after I put a call out on one of the entrepreneurial groups that I'm in asking for, potential guests for my podcast. And this chick, Alicia Hansen, messaged me directly via Facebook and told me that her major aha moment came from the day she broke her face. And needless to say, I was quite intrigued, so I had to get her on. And now I'm pleased to present Alicia Hansen. Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Every week, join me and my rad guests for tips and tricks for your entrepreneurial journey, incredible stories, real conversations, and takeaways to implement into your life to create positive change. Ready for a rad and real life and biz? Let's get our freak on. So, Alicia, would you like to tell me where this all began?
Yeah, definitely. So where it all began, basically most of my childhood, teens, basically my whole life I've been sort of an overachiever. So I've always been good at sports, schoolwork. I've just had that sort of type of personality where I've wanted to sort of, please my parents, and I had a sort of bit of a codependency there. Basically, I've also been an entrepreneur for most of my 20s. I started my first business when I was 23. So I've always known, and I studied business prior to that, so I've always known that I wanted to own my, run my own business and do things my way. I did work for companies in my early 20s, but found that I had different ideas and I just wanted to, go out in the world and create my own sort of thing. So my recent business that I had for 5 years was a beauty salon, which I owned in Canberra. And I started that business because it was an easy business to start. My mum was a beauty therapist and I'd done my business degree, and my dad was an entrepreneur. So I thought I could just run the business side of things, and my mum could help me set up the operations side of things. So I had a manager running that, and I started that when my son was 3 months old. So
wow.
Very early on, and I've just always done things like that. Like, a lot of my friends will say, I don't know how you do it all. If I've got an idea, I just sort of run with it and do it, and just let everything sort of work itself out, or not work itself out. But, so basically I had that salon for 5 years and I worked from home, and I just managed the business side of things where the manager, ran the salon. So it was quite a good business to have because I could be at home with my son. We also moved interstate, so we moved to Sydney in that time, and I was managing it from Sydney. However, it soon became a bit too much after the birth of my second child, my daughter. After the birth of her, I felt really disconnected from myself. I was overweight. So in my pregnancies, I put on, I think, 30 kilos.
Yeah, I did
time.
Too. Oh,
it's, yeah.
That's hard to come back from, isn't it?
It is. And especially when, with my son, it was hard, but I found with my, with my daughter, after the birth of her, I was just in a totally different place. I think with my son, I had the business to focus on, and I got myself into a really good routine, and we didn't have family down in Canberra, so it was all my husband and I, but for somehow it just worked a lot better. But after the birth of my daughter, I just felt really, disconnected, overweight, and I felt like I was just on autopilot because I had two children to take care of. I had my salon to take care of, and I just felt like I wasn't really doing what I wanted to do. And as an overachiever for most of my life, I just felt, I'm not doing what I wanted to do in the world. And I didn't know what that thing was.
I was just about to ask you that. Did you have any idea of what that was then?
No. And I just, the salon, I wasn't really aligned to the salon. Like I said, it was something easy to do. I started just to think of the things that I was interested in at the time. And you know, I say I was interested in nutrition, but that's just because I had years of yo-yo dieting where I was always, you know, looking at the next diet and looking at it from that angle. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine, she had recently started a nutrition course. When she was talking about that, something, I don't know, something lit up inside and I started to explore that. So I actually rolled Institute of Integrated Nutrition,
yep,
where I did my health coaching course. So that was, I was doing that for a year. So at that point I had, you know, I was juggling being a mum to two children. I was running my beauty salon from afar. I had problems with staff stealing from me and, you know, all the things that come with having a retail business. And then I was studying my health coaching course.
Wow.
So to say I had a lot on at that point, yeah, like it was just a lot to deal with. However, I kept going. And after that nutrition course, I enrolled in a life coaching course. That was very intensive. It was basically like a uni degree. You'd have to spend about 20 hours a week on that course. And so to add that on to everything else that I was going through, I then had my breaking point, which we can now talk about. Yeah. But I was doing a juggling act. You know, and I remember my friend saying, I don't know how you do it all. And for some reason, I had sort of like, I don't know, a bit of like a, yeah, I am doing it all. And, you know, I had a sense of achievement that I thought I was balancing. Like I had my, you know, I was doing the career, but I was, you know, being a mother. And then I was working on setting up this new business that I was about to start. And I thought I had it all. However, I was severely exhausted. You know, I was just running on adrenaline, basically. With kids, you don't sleep that well. You know, both my children didn't sleep through until they were one. And then you've got, you know, when they get sick or anything like that, you're waking up. So for basically 5 years, I hadn't slept a full night's sleep. So it came to March of last year, and I said to my husband, I said to him, I just need a break. Like I just need, meaning I just need things to slow down. I felt like I was about to break down and I was emotional and I was just not myself. I just didn't feel any connection to myself and just felt like I was go, go, going. And so one night I said to him, it was the first night I had off in a very long time, and I said, I'm just going to watch the TV tonight. I woke up and I was to get a glass of water and I was just feeling like I was, you know, that feeling where you go, something's not right, I'm about to faint. So I tried to walk up to my husband upstairs to where he was asleep just to tell him that I didn't feel right. Well, I fainted on the way and I went headfirst onto tiles. So I woke up when I got to hospital. Yeah, they discovered that I broke my cheekbone, pushed in my cheekbone and twisted it, and then broke all the bones sort of around my eye. It was a huge, huge wake-up call to the way that I was living. And, you know, they ran all the tests and nothing really came back, but it was put down to the exhaustion and, yeah, I just ran my body sort of into the ground, really.
So you got a forced break.
Well, that's right. You know, like I was saying the week before, like I just needed a break and I literally got that break. Everyone says, you know, you're the spirit, you know, you manifest quite well. And I'm like, yeah, I need to be careful.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? The things that you wish for, you've got to be very careful about the words that you use there.
You've got to be so careful. Yeah, you've got to, yeah. I had about 3 months of recovery. So for a month of that, I was bedridden. It was probably one of the worst times of my life because I had two children under five. My daughter didn't really understand, but my son, I had to have the surgery and whatnot, and my face I just didn't look the same. And for kids, you know, I couldn't hug my kids either, so I couldn't really connect with them, and it was a very hard time in that respect. And I've always been one to sort of take care of my kids, and I haven't, you know, they go to childcare a couple of days a week, but I, you know, I don't have babysitters and I would rarely ask for help.
Yeah.
I give out a lot, but I have a trouble receiving mm-hmm. that help. So that was another lesson to be able to ask for help. So for other people to be taking care of my children during that time, it was not a good time.
Yeah, and I think like that's a bit of a theme actually, just speaking to the women I've spoken to so far. They're all kind of high achievers, suffering from maybe a little bit of perfectionism mm-hmm. and they all find it very difficult to accept help or accept, mm-hmm. you know, like open yeah. to receiving is yes, doesn't really go with high-achieving perfectionist.
Yeah, totally, yeah. So, yeah, being bedridden, I mean, you can't do much.
You can do a lot of thinking.
Yes, which I soon learned. I was actually working with the creator of the life coaching course that I was doing. I was working with her one-on-one at that point, so it was all very... I don't know, it was weird timing because she helped me see a lot of things and helped me through that. But one of the things that she brought up was you need to receive help. You need to be okay with at this time, like this has happened to you and it's such a one of the hardest things you're going to go through. But at the same time, like what woman that has children and is working in the world or what woman gets to have a month where she can read, where she can, you know, get massages, where you can just let other people take care of you for once. Mm. And I thought that was really powerful because you rarely get that time out to really contemplate, like to think about the way that you're living, how you want to live. For most of us, we're just like on autopilot, we're just going through the motions and we rarely get that time just to take time out to work out where we're going in life. Going forward, you know, my self-care had slipped and like I said, after the birth of my daughter, I was so, you know, I was overweight, like for the first time in my life and I hadn't lost that weight easily. So I was overweight, I was, you know, disconnected from myself, my husband, like not really being a present mother. And I thought, I don't want this to happen again because it could be so much more worse. However, I need to really change things up. This is my wake-up call, so how do I want to live?
Yeah, so it's like when you're not getting the best of you, no one really does, do they?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, I work with women now on is self-care, and it starts with self-care and it needs to become a priority. Being sleep deprived for that many years, sleep deprivation is probably the worst thing.
It is. I've just come out of 12 months of sleep deprivation and literally I am surprised that myself and Mabel made it out alive. You know, there were hairy times there. And it's, you know, it's just so, it's such a horrible, horrible space to be because you can't find clarity. You know, there's a reason that it's torture.
Mm. I was speaking to a friend, even though she doesn't have children, she was still sleep deprived because with her, the place of where she works, she's forced to work so much and so like such long hours that she stays, you know, she doesn't sleep well and has broken sleep through the stress and anxiety. And that's what I found with me. So when, you know, I had the children and I was sleep deprived because, you know, they would wake up in the night. But then after that, because I was juggling so much and had so much to do, I had broken sleep because I was waking up because I'm like, oh, you know, in the middle of the night thinking what I've got to do the next day or, you know, stress and anxiety can be a real, it can really affect our sleep as well. So first and foremost, you know, I realized I just really need to get sleep.
Yeah.
And I need to make it a priority and I need to get my 8 hours no matter what is going on. I just need to get that. And my clients that have, you know, children that do wake up in the night, I say to them, napping is so important.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of tells us before we have children, you know, when they sleep, you sleep. But it's so, I haven't come across. I haven't come across a mother that does that.
No. And from in my own circumstances, that was pretty much impossible because when the baby slept, I worked, and I still do when the baby's sleeping now. And, you know, so it's like it's very difficult to nap. I'm also not really a napper during the day. So in the sleep thing, how do you ensure that you get 8 hours? Are there like things that you do, like little tricks or tips?
Oh yeah. So technology and like switching off is like a huge thing because we're so distracted by really our phones and technology. Like we could. It's a huge thing that comes up, you know, that we're just constantly, you know, with one click of the button, we're scrolling through social media or we're connecting with people. Downtime for a lot of people is watching TV. So I've sort of made it a priority of a night to switch off from technology, and that allows me more time to connect with my husband because, you know, that's the only time that sort of we get together alone. But it also gives me time just to wind down and be able to fall asleep, you know, by sort of 10 o'clock. I would say I get about 7 to 8 hours sleep because my kids vary and they could wake up at 5 o'clock some days or at 6 o'clock on others. So I try and get 8 hours sleep. I don't always get it. I mean, there are times where I get less, but I really feel it.
Yeah.
And I'm quick to realize, okay, I haven't been sleeping that well. I need to make that a priority now. Whereas before I just sort of did it all.
Yeah. Were you one of those late night working people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially with having the kids. I had to, you either do school drop off, pick up, and you've got a little bit of time to work in the day, or they're at home with you, so you're having to answer to them all the time and help, you know, be present, you know, with your children. But then nighttime, once I went to bed, was my time to seriously get stuff done. And I'm really productive of an evening. It's been the hardest thing to be able to switch off and, you know, make sleep a priority. I've found that if I do get sleep, it's so much better for me. Like my metabolism is better. You know, I've got more energy. I'm, you know, in a better mood. And I am more productive, you know, during the day. So it was hard to get my head around, but once I got into a pattern and a routine, and eventually you switch it up. So I was a night person, and now once 8, 9 hits, I start to get tired. So.
Yeah. I'm the same. I have always had a kind of self-imposed rule that I don't work at night because that should, like, it should. But for me, it needs to be me time. And, you know, if I want to veg out in front of the TV, then, you know, and I do that a lot of the nights that I have, but it's the time that me and my husband kind of, you know, we talk during, we're like Gogglebox kind of, or whatever it's called. we talk during the TV shows. But yeah, like, I've always been a, because so many of my friends have kids and they're working till 11, 12, 1 in the morning. And I just like, no, I value sleep. And part of the reason I had never really thought I was going to have kids was because I valued sleep so much, you know. I was like, there's no way I'm introducing something like that into my life where I don't have control. And then, you know, I had a baby that woke every 45 minutes for a year.
Oh, gosh.
So then I really experienced sleep deprivation at its finest. And that was tough. But like I totally hear you on the late night working thing. Unless you're like super in flow and you're enjoying yourself, but to have that time as your work time, I just don't think that you function at the same level during the day if you've been up until 11 or 12 or 1 in the morning working.
That's right. And I find a lot of people, because if they do stay up, that they feel guilty sort of during the day, like if they don't have that energy, you know, to give to their kids or they're not present, you know, or to their partner or themselves, like they don't, you know, they don't have the energy to go and exercise or like move their body or eat well because they're just I don't know.
Yeah, time. running on empty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it really is like your tank's empty, isn't it? Like you're not going to fill it up just by keeping it empty. You've got to put stuff in it to fill it.
That's right. Yeah.
So on the self-care front, do you have any little rituals or anything that you do?
I do. I do a lot with self-care. And going back to, you know, when I fainted and had the accident, before that time I was starting to change things in my life. So I actually sold my beauty salon so I could just concentrate on the health coaching. And I thought about, you know, everything about where I wanted to live and where I wanted to, you know, raise our kids. And during the recovery time, we were starting to think about moving, you know, closer to the beach, because for me, the beach, being in the water, it really gives me, I don't know,
I totally feel you on that. I moved to Byron Bay in 2003,
yeah.
And I will never live more than 10 minutes from a beach, because it's where I go to refuel my batteries.
Yes.
You know, I spend every day I go down there. That's one of my self-care things is spend, you know, at least half an hour to, it's usually an hour, on the beach every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just changes everything. It changes my perspective. I get clarity. You know, it's magic.
It is. I feel totally the same. I like to go for a swim in the ocean. But even just to sit by the water, wherever it is, I find it gives me clarity and it calms me, much the same as you.
Yeah.
I also I meditate as well, both in the morning and the afternoon. I do something for me, and that could be stretching, going for a walk. I dry body brush, take an Epsom salt bath, even just like calling a friend, like because I've moved away from Sydney now, like, you know, calling my best friend, or just little things. I make sure I do it in the morning and afternoon, and I do yoga as well. So yeah, they're just a few of the things that I do, but I like to switch it up and just I actually plan it out for the week. Every week I sort of plan out in the morning and afternoon what I'm going to do for myself, just so it's like the front of my mind and I'm like being active in my planning with self-care and I'm making it a priority.
Yeah, because so many people don't do that, you know, that self-care is an afterthought. It's something that happens when everything else falls apart and then they go to self-care.
So true.
But, you know, I actually have a friend, Emily J. Rooney, who I'll get on here.
Yeah.
At some point. And she has this system, which I'm very bad at asking for help too, but I was just feeling really shit and disconnected. And I went to her and said, can you help me? And and she has this thing where, you know, you kind of think about 10 things that you do when you are in a good space and you commit to doing 5 of them every day. And, you know, mine are as simple as when I put Mabel down for a nap, I turn the kettle on and I have a cup of tea and I take 5 minutes just to enjoy that cup of tea before I get stuck into work, because it's like, you know, honoring myself. Like I used to put her down and I'd be panicked, jump in the office, get everything done, because I've got like an hour, maybe two, to run 2 businesses and the rest of my life, you know, outside of being a mum. Mm. So I used to come in all panicked, but now I go and I start my work hour or whatever it's going to be with a cup of tea, and it just shifts things a bit, you know.
And you know, like I had a client the other day that had that exact, basically what she said was she likes to enjoy, like she's got twin boys.
Wow.
And going through self-care things that she could do, and she said I like to sit down with a cup of tea, but she goes, once I put boys down to bed, I then do the housework and I do everything that I need to do. And then once I sit down to have a cup of tea, they wake up.
Exactly.
And she's so angry and pissed off for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't get that time.
Yeah.
I said, what about if you switch it up and do exactly like you do, like, you know, have the tea as soon as you put them down so you've got that time for yourself and you can finish off the rest of the day, you know, doing your housework and things like that.
And it's like it works, you know, it works for me anyway, because I get those 5 minutes, which I wouldn't get otherwise, because I'd work until she woke and then I'd be like, oh, fuck, I didn't get my cup of tea in, you know?
Yes.
Whereas yeah. if I do it this way, it's about putting myself first. My business doesn't come first. I come first, you know? Because without me, that rest of the shit doesn't run. It's like, you know, it's really cliche, but it's the whole putting the air mask on yourself first, I think. And
it so is. And everyone feels it around you. Like when you put yourself first, you're actually a happier person. Like you're not a bitch. Like everyone feels it when you are exhausted and when you're running on like empty because you're so moody and unhappy, and then everyone else around you feels that, and you know, everyone's much happier when you're happy. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, so on the self-care thing, you're also big on body love.
Yes. Yeah.
So I could use some help in this area. I'm quite good with self-care, but the body love thing kind of escapes me a little bit. So what are your tips for people who look in the mirror and don't see something beautiful looking back at them?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's a big one.
And how does your journey with this go?
Actually, you know, stemming right back, I was always a yo-yo dieter and an emotional eater. And so with the dieting, like my friend and I from work, every Monday we would say, okay, it's Monday now, we're going to start. Or like, you know, Friday would come and we'd like go out and, you know, have a good time, and then I'd like, you know, eat that piece of cake and things because it's going to start Monday sort of thing. So I've always been like a dieter. Maybe the last couple of years that's changed. Yeah, like I said, I was overweight by 30 kilos with my daughter, and the weight, so my mum, she put on weight with my sister and I. However, she lost it very quickly, and it was like basically like a lot of fluid for her. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to be the same. And that didn't happen. So for the first time, I was really overweight, and I really didn't like look at myself. Like, but I became obsessed. Like, you know, I would weigh myself all the time, and I'd again try different diets. And you know, eventually the weight did come off. And I was looking really good, but I was still not happy with my weight or the way I looked. I didn't have that fulfillment that I thought I had once the weight, you know, came off. Because when I was, you know, heavier, I thought, oh, you know, when I'm, you know, when I weigh this amount, like life will be much better. I'll be happier. And that wasn't the case. When I had my accident, you know, I broke my cheekbone, so they had to actually put it back in place with metal plates. Like my surgeon said to me, you and your mum will notice that you'll never look the same again. If to everyone else, you'll look fine and they won't notice, but you'll never look the same again. So while I was healing, like it took like 3 months to heal, and I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh, I was quite upset. You know, it's like sort of a vain thing, but I was like, oh, like I just want to look how I looked before. Like I just, you know what I mean?
It was that's really interesting, isn't it? That you cannot. It's the same like with the aging thing too. You know, you look back, well, I do anyway, and most people I speak to have the same thing where, you know, I'm 37, I think. The years are kind of, I'm losing count.
Yeah.
And all through my 20s and 30s, I've always thought to myself, oh, you know, when I was 17 or 18, like I was super hot. Why didn't I like myself back then? You know, and then I see photos of me when I was 32 and I think, oh, why didn't I like myself then? I was really beautiful, you know, but it's like we're beautiful now, but often we just don't see that, do we? And it takes something like that to go, oh, I wish I was happy with what I had before because it was really cool.
Yeah. For me, so when I had the recovery, I thought, okay, you know, how do I want to live going forward? And I need to be fulfilled because I realized like when I lost the weight, I still wasn't happy and fulfilled. And I said, well, what is that thing that is missing? And I, you know, you have to dig deep to find that. But it was for me, I wanted to give back more. Once I worked out that I wanted to have, self-care and put myself, sort of first and nourish my body and things like that, the other step was, okay, what can I do to give back? Like, for as long as I can remember, I've wanted to do work with women and children in Africa, and I'm half African, so, it's always been something in me that I needed to do. And so I found an organisation in Australia, actually, and they help women and children over in Sierra Leone, and I became an ambassador for them. They're called One Girl, an amazing organisation, and I felt such a sense of fulfilment, and I felt so happy once I realised that. And, they do a campaign called Do It in a Dress, and you have to wear a school dress, and you raise money that way. And I just felt, I felt connected, I felt aligned, I felt the weight was not even, didn't even come into my mind. Like, the way that I looked, my weight, I was just happy with how I was living. And that's my biggest lesson for other women. Like, you think that life is going to start, or you're going to be happy and fulfilled when you are a certain way.
Yeah, it's that whole be, do, have thing, isn't it? It's like, when you have, you can do, so you can be. But what if you could just be? And it's interesting that whole idea also, because I found about 2009, I think it was, I had a huge bout of depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways I reconnected was through service myself too. So I went out into the community and I did a lot of volunteer work. And that connecting, being of greater good, really helped me reconnect to me too.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? That being of service, like, you still need to make yourself a priority, but sometimes just to reconnect to you, you need to connect to other people.
Totally. And if you think back to, in the tribal days, it was all about community, and you would work in a community together and you'd help other people. And in this day and age, that's why I disconnect from technology, because it's so, you're thinking you're connecting with people on social media and through like a phone or a computer screen, but you're really not. Like, you really need to have face-to-face, like, connection with people to feel like you really belong and to feel like you, a sense of purpose. And giving back is the fine, after self-care, it's something that can do such great things. Yeah. Such great things for yourself, and not only for yourself, but others as well. And
time to kick up your feet and relax. It's On the Couch. So I might throw some random questions at you now.
Okay.
Biggest fear.
Biggest fear is getting caught up in the world around me, and, like I said, technology and social media and things like that, that I disconnect from myself, and I fear going down that path of exhaustion and overwhelm and not taking care of myself. Although, I know I won't go there again, but it still is a bit of a fear. Being disconnected from sort of like my family, my kids, my husband. Yeah.
And right now, what do you see as your biggest struggle?
My biggest struggle is my time management. Because we've just moved interstate, again, my son started his first year of school. I'm doing a lot with my health coaching business. It is time management and trying to fit that in while being mindful that, I still need to take care of myself. So, time management's always been a big one for me, but, yeah.
And biggest lesson?
Biggest lesson is to really make self-care a priority, because after my accident, I don't want to go down that path, and I know it could have been a lot worse. And Self-care is first and foremost, number one priority.
Okay, so this one, we all have like a little evil bitch that lives inside our head and tells us lies about ourselves. And, often we have one recurring kind of statement, I guess. Mm-hmm. What would be the one thing that the evil bitch in your head says to you the most recurring negative thought?
I don't know. There's a couple there that I'm not being a present mother, or I'm not, giving enough to my husband, and then I'm not being a good wife or mother, basically. Well, I know that's not the case, but it's still there for some reason.
What would you say has been the highlight of your career so far?
The highlight was of my health coaching career was recently when Arianna Huffington asked me to write about my wake-up call for the Huffington Post, and and then she tweeted it out, and she's been like a real supporter. So, she's a woman I really look up to. So to have, her do that was, it was amazing, an amazing moment. So,
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Everyone can find me at alishahanson.com.au. I'm an integrated nutrition health coach, and so I help women adore their bodies and their lives by stepping off the diet and binge eating roller coaster and learning how to take amazing care of themselves. I have a self-care planner. So if you go onto my website, you can find that there to download, and it's a weekly self-care planner. And I also have a group program coming up in June. So if you wanted to get on the list, my list for that, to be notified of when that's going to launch,
The takeaway. Exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you. Have you got a takeaway for us?
I do. And that is, the whole conversation's been around self-care, but best activity that you can do is sort of map out yourself, your weekly self-care plan, and have something to do in the morning and something to do in the evening, and just, try it and do things that are fun, that make you feel alive, happy, connected. And by making those a priority, you'll be much happier and fulfilled for it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today, Alisha. It's been awesome getting to know you.
Yeah, it's been good.
And I'm sure we'll connect again sometime soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.